him, right?
Yes.
Thought, but them were some very pretty songs. That last one was really, really good. Man, that one little section of that one part, that rascal, he knew exactly what he was pinning down. Wow. Man. Good to see you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We're missing folks, but we got sickness, my goodness. And you pray for those that are sick. A lot to pray about. The old body gives up sometimes and just causes fits. So you pray for each one that's going through things. A reminder, I didn't announce this morning, but we're going to have a business meeting Wednesday night and try to get our teachers. That's kind of been what we're kind of holding up on. So we're going to have that all on Wednesday night. So come if you can. It'd be good if you could come. It'd help us. But we'll have a business meeting on Wednesday night, if Lord willing. And you just never know. I hope you brought your Bible. We'll not hold you long. I realize it's been a busy day for a lot of folks. So turn with us to the book of Acts. I'm going to pick up just a little bit of the 21st chapter, the latter part. But my main focus that we want to look at is in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. So it'll be Acts chapter 21, and then just a little bit, and then Acts 22. be much in prayer for that bridal shower. Of course, that's next week now. And you keep that in mind if at all possible. And I don't know how all that works, so I just keep my mouth shut and say it's 2 to 4, all right? Acts chapter 21. I hope you've had time to get there. I want to start reading, and I want you to listen. These folks were after the Apostle Paul, and they were going to get him. So that's where it proceeds up to in verse 36. Look at verse 37. And as Paul was led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, "May I speak unto thee?" Who said, "Canst thou speak Greek?" So he's talking about a language. And all right, let's just go on. "Art thou not an Egyptian, which was before these days made an uproar and led us out in the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers?" Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus. Now, I want you to always remember this. Now, if I was to go earlier in the book of Acts and talk to you about the conversion of Saul and start there, we'd say, "Whoa, look at here what the Lord did." When salvation comes to your house, to you, true salvation, true repentance, it changes you. You're not the same. We know the Bible says old things pass away. That meant the things that you used to do, you don't do. The things that you used to want to do, you don't want to do. Now we, as Gentiles, under a different upbringing than what the Jews were brought up, we think differently. We don't think going to church the way they went to church. That we don't have a clue the way they went to church. We've only known what we're basically in today. We know to come into a building and pews is on either side, and hopefully all the churches you ever attended has always had altars. And always had a preacher would preach the gospel and give an altar call and people would repent of their sins. That's what we know. But that ain't what the Jews went through. So he said, "I'm a Jew." Now he's saying that for a reason. He says, "I'm a Jew." And we're going to pray in just a minute. I want you to listen. He said, "I'm a Jew of Tarsus, city of Cilicia, city of I beseech thee, suffer me now to speak." And when Paul had given him license, Paul stood on the stairs. Now this is the part we remember. And he beckoned with them with his hand to the people. When there was a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and this begins the 22nd chapter, and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word. We pray, God, that you might help and use this service to be for your honor and glory. God, many sick, many afflicted, but God, most of all, those that's lost. God, help us to realize the day is short. God, help us to realize if repentance don't happen, many folks are going to die and go to hell. Lead us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul had not been saved long. And when you're not around a different way of living, coming into the new way of living was, like we say, from darkness into light. It's like we were living in sin and now we're living out of sin, well, only by the grace of God. But we've come into light. Now, Paul, on the other hand, had been what we've been accustomed to reading in the Old Testament. Accustomed to reading even with people like, let's say John the Baptist, his daddy. Being a priest, being a high priest, being somebody that would go to the temple. And when they would go to the temple, that there was things that the people had to do. And when you were a Jew believing the way that God had brought you up, remember, they're thinking they're doing the things right. They're not like an infidel.
No, they think they're doing right. And here they bring their sacrifices, their offerings to God, and boy, they offer them. And then what they do is they present them, and the priest has a different duty. Now, in our culture, we don't see that. In our way of living, we don't see what they saw. Listen to what Paul had to say. And I wish I had the time to talk to you about everything, but he was saying in verses 6, if we read verses 1 through 5, we'll read what he had went through in the same thing on the road to Damascus now. Came to pass in verses 6, I made my journey, and I come nigh unto Damascus about noon, and suddenly there was shown from heaven a great light round about. So it's the same conversion story. Same thing. Now remember, if you've recently been saved, what do you like to do? You like to tell somebody. And you may not be able to explain it. And you're trying to explain something that's brand new to you. On the other hand, we got the Apostle Paul that was very educated, very smart. Look at all the credentials he had. And his way of worship was just exactly like everybody else that was a Jew, when they would bring an offering to God and they would basically turn it into the hands of the priest. And that priest, that high priest, would make that offering, and they'd go back beyond that veil and they would do their thing, and they'd come out and they'd share a blessing. And that's what they did. Time after time after time. And we look at things like that and we say, man, how could those folks believe that's the way of worship? How could they do that? Because that was the way God had brought up a lot of folks, especially the Jews, and he was trying to show them that one day there was going to be a better offering that took the place of every other offering ever presented. Now, none of them got that. None of them understood what it meant to have a sacrifice without spot and without blemish. None of them understood that. In fact, the closest thing that they would bring would be the best of their animals, the best of the flock, the best of the sheep, or the best that they have. And they would look and they would see blemishes and go, oh, no, can't have that. Got to have better. But listen, God was bringing them to something that they couldn't quite understand. A perfect sacrifice. Perfect. Now, me and you look at this. Sister Jackie had been kind of on my case here lately about me and the red heifers. But the truth of it is, the red heifers have a very important part in the Scriptures. And the heifers in the red heifers had a spot for the temple that very, very, I mean, holy, boy, great. But all of that picture was for the way Paul was living. And now, on the road to Damascus, something happened to Paul that now me and you can relate to. Now, we don't know how to relate to Jews and their way of worship. We don't. We look at the wailing wall, and we look at the wailing wall, and we see little prayers that they stick in those walls like we did over there when years ago, and they're still doing it after all these years, and prayers and prayers and prayers are put in that wall. And if we go to pray at that wall and Jews go to pray at that wall, it's almost praying for two different things. They're praying for the Messiah to come the first time, and we're praying for him to come the second time. Amen. That's kind of the way you have to look at it. But you see, they're sincere. And yet we see the Apostle Paul saw and felt something different. Now, you've read this story as many times probably as I've read this story. And I want you to watch what a little bit different. So he says this, there was a great light that came round about me, verses 6. Verse 7, and I fell to the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's the same. It's happening earlier. And I answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said unto me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." See, that's the same. He's repeating this. He's saying it for the second time that we get to read, okay? Now watch as we read the next three verses. "And they that were with him saw indeed the light," identical, "and were afraid," identical, "but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me." Now we've hit something that the Jews have never quite grasped. The thing that me and you now relate to. We believe in things like a still small voice. We believe that God can speak and we can hear it. We believe that God has a way and a will that sometimes God actually shows us. It's not a road that we say, "Well, boy, I'm on a unique path all by myself." No, no, no. God's ways, it may be 10 rows that we might be looking at across the way like a farmer does with these big tractors, and he's got all these rows and he's plowing them all at the same time. But in reality, all those rows, just like a road, they all lead to the same place. When Paul heard that voice, me and you perked up. Because the Old Testament, remember, Jesus or God would speak, and God would speak to Moses and others, but when God would speak to them, when God would move, and God would move in a way, God would sometimes move in one like Moses and speak to thousands. And it would still be like taking it to the priest. Man, I am so glad I don't go to a priest. I'm thankful. You see, I've been around, pardon me, but I've been around some Catholics before, and I've been around in the Catholic schools, and I've watched those, you know, and I've watched them do their thing, and I'm thinking, what do they have that God needs? They're in the same boat me and you are in. If it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us are going to heaven. And God doesn't want me sit there and criticizing somebody else's religion and say, "Look here, if that's all you got to believe in, you're going to die and go." I got news for you. None of us is going to heaven if we believe in an earthly priest. None of us. We got to believe in that heavenly priest. And that heavenly priest is the one that takes my sins to God, not an earthly man. Now watch this. So he is saying that he heard. That takes away all them Jews. And them Jews right now, boy, you don't talk that way. But let me rehearse in your mind something. Rehearse in your mind when you got saved. Didn't you feel that God was speaking to you? It might not have been in a voice that you could hear with this ear, but it had to be in a voice that you could hear with this ear. And that kind of hearing, man, I don't know what God's voice sounds like, but I know what His words feel like. In other words, I've heard Him say things to me like, "Listen, boy, if you don't get saved, this might be your last chance." Now, there was no audible, but boy, there was an inward. And friend, when God speaks to you a language like that, there may not be another opportunity. You might ought to listen. Now listen to this. So he hears a voice. I got to hurry. A voice. That's a voice in verses 9. And here's what he says. "And that when they saw indeed the light and were afraid, they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do? And he said, Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus. And it shall be told thee of all the things which thou appointed me to do." We got that. 11. "And when I could not see." Now remember, the first time we saw scales, that's what it's described. so he couldn't see. But watch this. And when I could not see, look how he describes it. Look how he describes it. Look his words. Not what Ananias would say. Not his fellow people that are traveling with him. Look at what Paul says. He says, and when I could not see, here's the reason why I couldn't see. For the glory of that light. Now, why didn't he say the brightness of that light? You ever look at somebody welding? That light's pretty doggone. Whew. Now, it don't take but a second or so if you look at that and look away. You know what you're going to see when you look away? You're going to see that light. You look too long, you're going to burn your eyes. Now, I don't know how to describe this, but Paul just didn't see light. It wasn't light. Oh, that's how everybody said, boy, there was a light brighter than a noonday sun. Yes, sir. But Paul saw the glory of the light. You remember when Moses was on that mountain? And Moses got to be near God. And Moses just, oh, my goodness. But Moses had come down off that mount. And when Moses come down off that mount, there was something different about him. And that difference said when the people saw him, it was like, oh my goodness. There was a change. A change. Now me and you as saved people, we say we pass from death unto life. That's our change. And that's true. But there was a physical thing with Moses. He shined. They put a basket over that rascal. And whenever he what I'd call it, whenever... This ain't true, but this is what I'm going to say. It's kind of like getting blistered. First few days, you're blistered. You red as a beet. Now, a few days later, I get that redness gone. I'll peel like an onion, but that redness is gone. What Moses had to do to still keep everybody enthused like they was, he kept had to wear in that basket. Now, let me show you the difference in Paul. And in fact, I think you can relate to this. When you see the glory of God, it's not the outward effects, it's the inward effects. When you see. Now, did I say with the eyeballs? There's a lot of blind folks that's going to heaven because they saw the light. So don't think it's here. Salvation doesn't come through here because, friend, these things are staying behind. What he saw was the glory of God, and that glory shined here. When you get God right, you're not talking physical things. Was he trying to witness to folks or was he trying to repeat his salvation story? Now, if we all like to say, well, everywhere Paul went, he witnessed. But I want to just say right here, this is a good time to reflect on how you get saved. Every now and then, you need to reflect on how you got saved. It does us good. It does us good to remember our first Bible verse that we ever learned, if we can remember that. Or it does us good to remember first time we went to church or first time we did some special song. It does us good to remember the things that we did with God that we were scared, afraid. Oh, Lord, I can't do this. But when we pushed our way out there and do it, you know what happens? The glory of God just got just a little bit brighter. Remember first time you took your youngins to church? Sometimes you take them youngins and you say, oh, look how sweet they are. And then a few years later, you're killing them right there in the pews. But the truth of it is,
when you bring them to church, ain't you proud that you're introducing them to something that they can one day hopefully see the glory of God? Because Paul would have never got it unless the Lord visited him. Now listen to me on that statement. Neither would you have ever got it unless the Lord visited you. Because we've all sinned and come short. We've all failed. We've all been hooked up with religion and denominations. And when this glory that he describes, listen to how he says it. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led, now see, he's showing him scales. But on his side of the eyeballs is what he's seeing the glory. On everybody else's outside, they're seeing the scales. Now, what'd you rather see? Friend, I want to experience the glory and not the scales. I want to experience the glory. I don't care about the blindness. He had to be led. Friend, he was led because his eye. Friend, you can say what you want to. God was blessing that man in what he'd done. That man saw God. And when you see God, it don't matter if somebody leads you. It don't matter. It don't matter what happens. Friend, what matters is you seeing the Lord. How many folks do we know that right now can't walk, can't talk, can't do a lot of things physically and are saved and on their way to heaven? We got at school. We got at school a bunch of special children. And some of them children, man, my goodness, it'll break your heart. But now I've been around some of these children for a few years now. And I don't care how much you say, I feel sorry for them folks. Friend, them folks right there is okay. I'll get to see them one day when they have a better body than the one they got right now. And you think for 1 minute, God is not merciful? Oh, yeah. They may not be able to tell me their name, but boy, I'm telling you what, Jesus knows their name. Because God is merciful. And God knows how to speak and show his light if you're willing to see it. I'm glad I got saved. And my life's changed. It seemed like it's changed for the better. I think I'm better off than before I got saved. I think I'm almost a step ahead. Friend of mine, I got news for you. There's no comparison to what my old life was, to what my new life is. Ain't I glad I don't have to worship the way Paul did and bring sacrifices? Ain't I glad I don't have to go to a priest and tell him all my troubles? I'm glad I can go right straight to the throne. Jesus already, with that perfect sacrifice, took care of it all. You know what? I'm glad I got to see the glory of that light and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been saved. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. 344. To be saved is a miracle. It's the miracle of all miracles. There's not a thing in this world that can top salvation. You can say, there's wonders of the world. Oh, there's this, that, and the other. Meet the president. That's the finest thing. No, sir. Salvation's the greatest thing that ever come my way. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in this world. I hope you can say the same. Let's stand to our feet. Sing a verse of God speaking to you. You come tonight.